to the club.
Welcome back, everybody, for another edition of the Club Cool podcast. I am your host, Barrett Dudley, and I am here in the Washed Media Studios, brought to you by Washed Media. Joining me, back in person, for the first time in 2021, Phil Battaglia.
Hey, man, thanks
for
that intro.
That's Phil's music!
What's good, man?
Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's...
I'm sure we sound a lot better.
We probably do.
No glitch.
I don't know. The audio honestly seemed pretty... Aside from the little StreamYard glitches...
Yeah. You know, Not our fault.
StreamYard says that you're supposed to plug in. Who has a hard-lined Wi-Fi? These are a hard-lined Ethernet anymore. These computers, they don't even, you can't even plug in. No. How are you supposed to plug in an Ethernet? Who even owns one of those cords? Speaking of internet, though, how about that Bitcoin?
How about it? Are you an owner?
I am an owner.
You are?
Yeah. Now, I don't own one whole coin. Otherwise, I would have quit this podcast probably. No, let's see. It's so fantasy draft. You and I, you know, we do these live fantasy drafts when we can.
Yeah.
So let's see. 2 years ago now, mm-hmm. I want to say 2 years ago, I had one of my buddies that's in the league. He's big Bitcoin guy. He is Bitcoin guy. He is genuinely very wealthy off Bitcoin mm-hmm. now. He was like. He had the whole mining yard in his garage set up, like
whoa.
the whole shebang.
A miner.
He was neck deep in Bitcoin from the get go. So we were like two lageritas deep in McQueenie, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, yeah, should I do it? Like, I'm gonna put $100 in Bitcoin. I'm gonna do, yeah. And he convinced me that I should put $100 in Bitcoin just for fun.
Yeah. For funsies.
Just play money. And
so where are you at now?
541.
See? He knew what he was talking about.
He did. He really did. So it's gone straight to the moon. But yeah, that's the thing about Bitcoin and stocks that everybody should know in 2020 and 2021 is that they don't go down. So just fire up that Robinhood or that Cash App and just start buying to your heart's content.
I wonder how Ross
is doing. You can't lose.
Ross had some Bitcoin back in the day.
He has less Bitcoin than I do.
Wow. You're a real baron, aren't you?
I'm more Bitcoin baron. I'm a bigger Bitcoin baron than Ross is, that's for sure.
Your friend, does he ever sell any of this stuff, or is he convinced this is the next, you know, this is going to replace cash?
So he has sold in the past
uh-huh.
to fund various expenses.
To buy more Bitcoin?
I think to like buy houses and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
But he was so like highly leveraged into it that I think he still had lots. So much so that we, you know, just a year and a half ago or whatever it was, we were kind of joking around when Bitcoin kind of plummeted mm-hmm. for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we made a bunch of jokes then, and now we're making a bunch of jokes about how much richer he is than all of us now.
Well, it always scares me to hear about these guys that have millions tied up in it and won't sell. They just aren't convinced.
It's so crazy volatile. Like it's that, and we've been joking in various text groups about how, like, nobody actually knows why it goes up or down either. It's mostly just driven off FOMO.
Right.
People see Bitcoin start going up a little bit. And everybody jumps back onto the Bitcoin train,
yeah,
and starts just talking about how it, you know, it's the currency of the future. I don't know.
I don't either. You know, Tesla is the same way in some respects. That stock is such a cult following, and people just want to own it just to be a part of the club.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a, you know, obviously a great company, but still, that thing, the value that's placed on Tesla. Compared to the rest of the market.
The stocks I don't understand so much because they're still backed by banks, right?
Yeah.
Bitcoin, I think whenever there's like, you know, it literally looks like our democracy is falling apart, I kind of understand why it goes up a little bit because it's not tied up in any institutional organizations, basically, on any mm-hmm. just like things that we trust and rely on because we always have and that's the way we do things. It's in the ether. It's just cloud money. So like when the you know, when the shit hits the fan and we go to Civil War II, and all the banks collapse, like Bitcoin, you'll still have your Bitcoins.
Mm, good.
Even though you won't have any of your real money slash well, fake money, because it's all just, it's all in the cloud anyway.
I'll come to you for a loan when the war breaks out.
Yeah. I mean, I'll lend you 10%, $50 of Bitcoin.
That's fun.
But no, we've got a good show for you today. We're here, intersection, style of pop culture. We've got some hotline calls on the back half.
Nice.
And first, we'll break down a couple of big fits here and big accessories as well. And I specifically wanted to talk about another style of jacket. A few weeks back, before we broke for the holidays, we talked about the humble chore coat. Mm-hmm. Today, I want to highlight the liner jacket. Now, I'm not we're not like ahead of the curve or anything on this. I was Googling around, searching for some options to pull up and show on our screen here today if you're watching on youtube.com/washmedia. And, I mean, like, GQ had an article about this in September 2019 mm-hmm. about the liner jacket. But I do feel like it's something that I'm seeing more and more of. And it's just like a just another nice option to kind of have and know about. And it also falls into this category, like, I think we all kind of thought that athleisure was on its way out right before the pandemic struck. And then the pandemic kind of like launched us right back into it. Mm-hmm. And now we're just all like sweatpant and sweatshirt kings again. But as we kind of like move forward a little bit, I don't think people want to go all the way back into that, like that athleisure as we knew it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all like Nike Tech Pack and Lululemon joggers and Nike Tech Pack. You can tell what I'm thinking about, right? That I've got other stuff going on. Nike Tech Fleece. Got tech bags
you
on
got
the brain.
Tech pack pulled up. Let's see it.
I probably do.
Ooh, classified information.
Here, I'll give you a little quick glance.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wait, no, here.
Oh man, this is huge! Breaking news: Tech Pack Halla Brothers.
Little fabric pitch I was working on. So yeah, that's it.
Wow,
that's all I can show you. I've said too much.
You have said too much.
Nike Tech Pack, Lululemon joggers, like all that type of stuff, like the you know Adidas Ultra Boosts and that whole like very athletic version of it.
Yeah,
we want something a little different. So I think this kind of falls into that. Like it's super casual. It's low key. It's athletic. You know, it's poly or nylon material generally, but it's a little bit more. It's a little something extra than just like a zip up hoodie. Might be. So what's a liner jacket? It's historical. It's a military thing. It's supposed to go it's a layering piece that goes under an M65 field jacket. And so you can go to military surplus stores or you know, find one from Rothko and they're $25-$30. They're just a quilted piece. Meant to layer under an over jacket. Like I said, it's the field jacket. And the hallmarks of the kind of contemporary versions are this shape with the either sometimes they'll use like a bomber collar or they have just this kind of like no collar whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Almost looks like a cardigan. And then the straight hem, no banding or ribbing at the hem. Sometimes they put it on the sleeves in a new version, but other times it's just kind of cut straight again like this. And then you'll often find them quilted with some type of lining. But I've also seen plenty of fleece versions of this as well. Downfilled, just no fill. So there's all kind of variations as this has become more of a thing. And one of the first fits that I wanted to pull up to talk about was from your man's Justin Thoreau.
Mm.
So he's got this nice khaki one on. I really like this one. Nice neutral tone will go with everything. But something about this fit stands out far more to me.
I wonder what.
he's paired his liner jacket with the accessory of the season. And it is this giant wicker basket. If you're not walking around New York City with a giant wicker basket, then you're doing it wrong.
Correct.
And that's what Justin Thoreau proves here. Upon seeing this this lovely pop shot here, has a wicker basket just shot straight up to the top of your want list? Do you already have these littering your home, just ready to grab at a moment's notice to walk down the street to the bodega?
No, but we got one peddler. For...
Think about how much soup you could put in this wicker basket.
Ooh, that's a lot of soup. Man, they do a great Greek white bean. We just had that.
Yeah.
We got a wicker basket from Santa Claus.
Is that right?
Yeah, but we put plants, like potted plants, in them.
Okay.
We've got a few of those.
Yeah, no,
But we haven't stepped it up to taking it out in the wild.
The truth is, this cannot possibly be what he's actually walking around with.
Fuck no.
He made a stop at West Elm or something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe CB2. Maybe Roche-Beaubois. And he picked up a wicker basket.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a true New Yorker. He walks everywhere. Or he rides a bike, but you can't ride a bike with this giant wicker basket.
Or the pit bull.
And so he might even go get on the subway with this thing. Who knows?
You know what? What's the deal with dogs on the subway? Don't they have to be in a bag or basket?
Yeah, actually, yeah. You can't just get on the subway with a dog on a leash like
that.
Yeah,
you can. You put him in the basket.
Well, okay. That's
what I'm saying. Maybe he was transporting.
That's why he knew he could bring his dog on this errand.
Right.
Because on the way back, he can get on the subway by putting the pit bull in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. Surely there would have been photos of that surfacing by now had that actually happened. But yeah, I love the accessorizing here. Maybe we can find a wicker basket to put on our Patreon editorial.
For sure.
Just a great giant wicker basket to have, whether it's for potting plants or carrying your pit bull on the subway or putting soup in.
Also, great item to like hide routers in and such around the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good point.
So the jacket, though, these are very tough. You have to have something underneath it. I think I kind of look stupid without a collar.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so. I put something on. Like, I have a Nano Puff, but it's got that little baby collar that goes around. That's around the same thickness as a liner jacket.
Right.
I don't know. I just always enjoy these better with either a hoodie underneath or something like he's got going on around the neck.
His scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a great one from a brand called Camo. This is from No Man Walks Alone. By the way, this is a great little retail shop.
Ooh, yeah.
If you're not familiar with No Man Walks Alone, like if you're into like the Kanata knits and either like the Wythe Western vibe or like even 18 East's kind of boho vibe, they're very like they're a blend between like that kind of artisanal bohemian and then like some contemporary like classic menswear with some Western flair as well.
Mm.
So great place. They're makers under here. Like there's great stuff like Mon Italy and Sage Decret, which are a little bit more familiar, but then a ton of brands that I discover brands on here too, is basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like Captain Sunshine is one that does like some really nice shirting. Document is one that I'm just now familiarizing myself with. So a bunch of cool stuff and a great place for brand discovery as well. But I like the interesting, this is unique quilting on this one.
That's cool.
That onion quilting is typically what you see because it's what was traditionally used. But obviously, like, you know, the one I'm about to pull up here is from OAMC, so like very contemporary, far more expensive, with a slight tweak on that onion quilting. It's like more of a diamond quilt.
Oh man! And then you get that huge label on the back. That's part of it.
Yeah. So yeah, these are kind of all over the place at this point. You'll know it when you see it. Sometimes they're even labeled like this one from Snowpeak as a cardigan because of that essentially what's like a V-neck shape with no shawl, no collar, no nothing like that. And this one, see, has the ribbed cuffs. So yeah, just one more jacket to throw in your repertoire. And if you're looking for something unique and new that's very easy to wear in this era of not really like getting fully dressed up, but wanting to kind of look put together or have something cool going on, it's definitely one that I recommend looking into. Okay. Next up, I wanted to I was seeing Justin Theroux in that jacket on some of GQ's big fits of the week, and I pulled up the rest of the story, and I thought there were a couple other fits worth noting here, and I just wanted to get some breakdowns going on these guys. Let's start with okay. Oh, one more.
He's back.
Here's Theroux again, not wearing it, but his buddy, his friend, is wearing a really, really awesome one, which has this Western yoke on it that I like a lot. And this is slightly different. It's not like this might actually be more of a bomber, but it's got that straight hem, no ribbed hem, and I just really like the way that one looks a whole lot. Both rocking solid beans as well. You've got some beans to show us today on our Beantown segment.
See, he's got the bean, but he's got the sailor look going on.
I don't love it. I'm hoping that he just doesn't have that pulled down because the mask is in the way, kind of thing. I don't know. It looks like a little condom tip on his head.
But he looks great.
Yeah, but like, that's good. And then you get like, whoop.
Yeah.
Little pinch top.
Everybody pictured in here, even the guy in the background.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They all have the same look.
They do. Okay. Let's see. What was I going to call out first? Let's take a look at my notes here.
Rodzikowski's dude?
Yeah, he's on my list. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's who. So Emily Radikowski's husband, Sebastian Bear McLeod. He's like a producer, I guess. He works with the Safdie brothers on their films, so he's like he was a part of Uncut Gems, and then the one before that with Robert Pattinson. Name is slipping my mind right now. Good time.
Uncut Gems is great.
But he is really, really, truly the king of like the work from home slob look.
Yeah.
And when I say he's the king of that, I mean it a little bit derisively, but also more than anybody I've ever seen, he makes it work too. He's just like with his build, his whole persona, like everything about it, just kind of like he's just like a sweatsuit guy, especially because that's all I've ever seen him in. But you Google this guy, and I mean, like this is what he wears is just like track pants and t-shirts and hoodies and t-shirts that look like they haven't been washed in 2 weeks. And just, you know, like he rolled out of bed and he was like, oh, here's this hoodie that I left over on the, you know, on the desk. I'm just going to throw this on. And then, oh, I left these tight shoes on the floor. I'm going to put these on. Let's go walk the dog.
I wonder if he dressed like this before he locked up.
Yes. No, he definitely did. Look at this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So like this right here, this is like the sharpest he looks, like with like a brightly colored AMA jacket and some pants that aren't sweatpants. But I don't know. I think one of the things that stands out to me about like his kind of just like rolled out of bed look is that he almost always has like one really cool thing on, which is partially like what helps this to work a little bit. So like here, like it's all super, super low key and casual, but he is also wearing what I guess I would call a liner jacket, although it's more of a puffer. Got some tie dye on a sweater, and then I can't tell if that's just a North Face beanie or if it's a North Face Gucci beanie. It feels like it would be North Face Gucci.
Let's just say that
would make sense to me. But I actually think it's just regular North Face, because I did a little research. I was trying to come up with the retail price of the Gucci North Face beanies, and all the pictures that I was seeing for them, they're all like kind of cable knit.
Yeah.
And this one is just like a regular like acrylic bean top, like some of the ones that we have to display here.
What a loser, just wearing a regular beanie.
How do you feel about the bright red shoes?
Those are terrible.
Yeah. I'm not... I didn't even like the red October Yeezys when they came out. I've never been like an all red shoe guy. Mm-mm. Okay, so rate his fit for me here, because I'm not getting a read from you on this guy.
I don't like. I mean, it's just I don't know, dude. These guys in California, it's hoodie weather all year round.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand why they're wearing this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I could do without the big jacket.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it's cold.
I don't know if this is. Yeah, Tribeca. Okay, so.
Oh, Tribeca. Yeah. It just sucks because he's always pictured with her, and she always has on like an incredible outfit, and then he looks even worse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess I'm giving him. I'm probably giving him.
Look
a
at that! Look at that fit.
Yes. This is a great example of the dichotomy here. Right? Like, she looks incredible, super, super stylish, and he has on terrible shorts.
What is that?
All black sneakers and a zip-up hoodie.
I don't know.
This guy's dick game must be unreal.
Why do they always have coffees?
You can't. That's a celebrity rule. It's in the celebrity handbook.
It is.
You, if you're walking down the street and you might be photographed by paparazzi, you have to have a coffee.
Get
in your
something
hand.
In your
Get
hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you're empty-handed,
right?
What type of loser are you? You can't afford a coffee? You can't afford a green juice from
one thing
Erewhon?
That I love about street snaps from New York Fashion Week back when they actually had it is everybody with the phone in the hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody with the phone in the hand, acting like they're doing something on it because they know they're getting photographed.
Yeah. Yeah. See, drink in hand. Yeah. I'm giving him extra credit because it clearly works for him because Emily Ratajkowski is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He did not need any type of fancy clothes or super sharp dress.
Photoshop her out of all this, and you're not even paying attention, right?
No, absolutely not. But it's you know what it is. It's like it's Adam Sandler,
right?
But like a little with like a few more trend pieces,
yeah.
And the stuff fits slightly better.
Uh-huh. Less and one.
Less and one. Less, yeah. Nike basketball shorts from 1997. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, you know, this one was good enough to make it into GQ's
big fits.
10 big fits of the week. So, So yeah. Just to spin off here on the Gucci North Face topic. Here's PJ Tucker coming down the NBA runway. This is one of the big printed pieces. It's what the collection seems to break down into. There's the really loud printed outerwear pieces, which are absurdly expensive. And then there are some beanies. There's a t-shirt, which is retailing for almost $700. And then there's a pair of big, like a big clunky hiking boots. The question remains to be seen whether this stuff is going to resell or not. Now, it's not really been released yet. So these early numbers are crazy. But as I was doing research, I did pull up this beanie listed on Grailed for $3,500.
That's a must buy.
Which is, you know, laughable. I do not think it's going to sell for that much, especially when, let's see, what do we have? Now this, there will be people that buy this t-shirt for $1,500.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It just got like, I don't know why this is so successful as a massive status symbol collaboration. I can't quite put my finger on it.
I like the other colorway that was the tan.
The other colorway is better. Yeah. But again, like I said, these prices are probably inflated because this stuff hasn't actually released yet.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very curious. Because it's something that we've seen with like the AMA a little bit as well, right? Where it's like this brand has kind of been above bots and resellers and everything because it's pricier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more expensive than Supreme, so you can't like you don't have people like in investing. If you're investing, you know, $500 in a Supreme drop, you might be able you might be able to get several things. With Aimee, that's like maybe that's like one sweater, mm-hmm. right? So it, but with these latest collections, and as Aimee has clearly like pulled back on their wholesale accounts and not distributed as much, you know, that we you definitely saw that you saw some of the more expensive stuff flipping, even if it was just for small percentages is over that that retail price. But when stuff gets so expensive like this, it's just always kind of interesting to see if it's actually going to like turn profit for these people. I expect that this stuff probably will, because it's so limited and so exclusive, and there's no way that they made a whole lot of this stuff either. So I'll be on the lookout for that. Last thing I wanted to talk about here before we jump into the hotline calls was the beanies. Last week, I forgot to mention, like, you guys had a couple suggestions, and then I was thinking more about it. The one I have on today is Howler, which we've typically just done like these classic, you know, acrylic kind of run of the mill beanies. These are far easier to find, and I generally do like the way they fit. One that was sent in that was suggested to me was a brand that's pretty much exclusively doing headwear and beanies, not really in a drop style, but in a like they do like a couple colors, very limited. When they're out, they're out. It's called Autumn. I liked what I saw on their social feeds and on their website. Polar Skate is one that No Comply is carrying, and I'm very interested to go check those out, because they even offer some cotton and some merino wool options as well, but still in that like under $50 price range. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple to show here, as well.
Three different options here. This one I'll wear the most. This is Wallace and Barnes.
J. Crew.
I think this is from Stag. But this is one that could be a candidate for the sailor look, which I've tried, and I look like a buffoon.
You just keep it. You keep. Let's see it right over your ears.
I keep it just over the ears, like you do.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. Now, have you gone sailor beanie look in the store?
No.
No.
Like sailor, like up, right?
Uh huh. Like on, yeah.
No.
I feel like I would really think you
feel stupid.
I feel like I would I would think you knew what you were talking about if you started talking about wine with your hat like that.
Had on the jumpsuit yesterday. People really trusted my opinions. They didn't know whether I was like janitorial staff or actually the wine buyer.
I'm watching The Crown season 1 right now.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
And I just got to the episode where Churchill gets his portrait done.
Uh-huh.
And both the painter, the portraiture, mm-hmm. portraitist, and Churchill at various times are wearing jumpsuits.
Yeah,
they were like a thing in the '50s for
their little onesie.
Yeah, for working, uh-huh. basically. I think that's their, like you just mentioned, like janitorial or mechanic or whatever. Like that's definitely was their original purpose as a coverall. But I really dug it. I dug it in that setting.
It's very comfortable.
And it really piqued my desire.
You're about to miss the wave.
To get back in on the jumpies. And
the second wave.
One of the things that I kind of like took away though from that episode, I especially like when you do something over the jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. If you can do like even if it's just like
denim jacket would be perfect.
Anything from like a sweater to a flannel to a jacket to like a piece, you know, to other outerwear. I feel like that really kind of like that helps get it out of that workwear mode.
Are you about to change my
Yeah. Yes.
Would you like to suggest a cab?
And the second thing, and you were onto this from the get-go or from the jump, pun intended, is that it works a hat also.
Yeah. Really helps.
Brings it up into that more stylish level. Mm-hmm. The portraitist, he has on one of those village people, almost like a cop hat at one point, like the little brimmed.
Oh man. Yeah, that's like
it's very British. It's like
it is very British, but it's also like you got to be at another level of hipster.
Yes.
To pull
no,
off.
I'm not saying that's I, what I know you should it looks do, good, but like, it stood out to me.
Yeah, I could never do
Pharrell it. Pharrell could do it.
Oh, yeah, he could do anything.
But yeah. But I'm not gonna be walking around in a little. I don't know what that type of hat is called. Okay, what else you got for me, beanie wise?
This is just your run of the mill. I thought the colorway is nice.
Mm-hmm. A little marl going on.
Save khaki. And then this is a functional beanie. This is Lululemon. Mm-hmm. I use it when I'm running in colder weather. Keep your head nice and warm. Keep your body temperature up. You look like, this is more condom-ish than anything. Because it fits tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't look great.
This is not a style piece.
This
is function over form.
That's right. They're very comfortable, and it does what it's intended to do.
Yeah.
Keep the head warm when you're running.
Yeah, I've got one like that from Mountain Hardware. That's like my, you know, I'll get it if I'm doing a cold weather run.
Yeah.
I'll throw that bad boy on. But it's certainly not what I'm trying to look Superfly in.
Satisfied, just their new drop, their cold weather stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think that your Wallace and Barnes and your Save Khaki one, I think that those are both probably poly or acrylic. The tough part, I feel like, is finding a good wool beanie.
Mm-hmm.
That's more what I was alluding to last week,
mm-hmm.
is because if it's cashmere or if it's merino, they tend to look really thin, and I don't like a thin beanie. I don't want it to look like a pantyhose or a sock on my head.
Yeah, right.
And so you got to find like it, but you don't want it to be too chunky or look like you're coming out of a Christmas story, like little Ralphie in his, mm-hmm. you know, full puffer jumpsuit either.
Acrylic, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's just kind of like the these ones like that are acrylic and poly. Kind of, you know, every brand kind of has one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're a good baseline. They're I think they're the easiest to kind of fit. And easiest to find, and they're typically inexpensive. But like MA does acrylic beanies every year too, which have fit me well in the past. Last one that I wanted to throw out here was there's a little brand. This is one that I've been getting targeted on Instagram by called Holden.
Mm-hmm.
They do outerwear, and they had some beanies which are very clearly inspired by the Acne beanies. But they looked really good. The site that I saw selling them, I think, is already sold out of them. So. But a cool brand to check out nonetheless, Holden. All right. That wraps up segment one. Are you about ready to jump into some hotline calls?
Yes, I am.
Yeah? Okay. Let's do it. Let me pull them up here. Get my volume up. Thanks to everybody for dialing into the hotline as well. Here's that number if you want to submit your own hotline call. It's 833-258-2266. Write it down, put it in your phone, call in, leave us a message about really whatever you want. We've got a range of topics here to discuss today, and let's go ahead and start with call number one.
Barrett, it's Cole, aka C Stan. Hey, I gotta talk to you about something. Are we not gonna give me a shout out for coming up with the entire sneaker madness idea, bracket idea? Freaking Neil gets a shout out on the pod like every other week, and I can't get one shout for that. Secondly, when am I getting my guest spot on the pod? I sent you a DM, you never answered, just ghosted me on that. What gives, man? Phil, love you. Keep it sexy. Talk to you later.
I like this guy.
Okay, so obviously, number one, shouts to Cole. He did suggest the sneaker bracket idea to do a Club Cool sneaker of the year. He did so in the Discord, which if you are listening to this podcast on the day that it releases, which is Wednesday, January 13th, there is a fresh, hot Discord link for you to join. Go follow us on patreon.com/clubcool. It is out right now. It's we'd be live for about 24 hours. If you miss it, just drop a message on the Patreon, or just DM me or whatever. It's still free to join. And Cole had the idea there. People have lots of great ideas in there. By the way, it's not the first. It won't be the last that I pull from you guys, from the listeners, from the contributors. The second thing is, I'm notoriously bad about following up with people. And this extends to friends and family as well as to like as to listeners and contributors. Poor Will. I've had a great column from him about ski gear and ski fashion sitting in my inbox for months. I have it, but Will, I have it pulled up on my computer right now. I'm looking through it. I'm making some edits. We're gonna get that put out this week. Ricky, been working on new logos with Ricky back and forth in the DMs for months. I'm so bad at keeping up and responding to this. And I'll, will you allow me to start making excuses now?
Please.
Okay. The work from home life has been terrible for my productivity.
Yeah.
It's really bad. The pre-pandemic, I was fitting in 9 to 5 at the office, plus the 3 hours of podcasting, plus I was getting to the gym 3 times a week, plus I was still doing all the same amount of like cooking, plus going out and seeing people and doing happy hours and all the other mm-hmm. stuff that we used to be able to do. And I was getting far more done, I felt like. There is something very weird about always being at home, and it actually, like, I don't know, it cramps me. It somehow I feel like I have less time than ever to do stuff, even though I know that is not technically true. But there's so many distractions. You wouldn't believe if I had a stopwatch calculating all the time that I have to deal with the dogs from 8:30 to 11:30 constantly. Beating down the door to go outside and then demanding that I throw a ball for 10 minutes and then, like, you know, doing that whole thing again every 30 minutes. Like,
there's no consistency.
It's chaos is what it is. Yeah. The lack of structure has been bad for my productivity. So we talked style resolutions last week. This week, I'll just tell you that a 2021 resolution is to be more on top of my own business doings. And that is what this is, you know, when I want to put out a column from Will, or I want to talk to Cole about maybe doing some sneaker correspondent type stuff, or I want to get new logos for us to do merch and get with Ricky on that. And so I'm hoping that by laying it down right here in public on the podcast, it will help me hold to it, mm-hmm. basically. The other thing, if you're one of the dudes that I just named, or you've DM'd me, or you've asked me about something, and I've not gotten back to you or answered, do not be afraid to keep hammering at me and bumping stuff to the top, whether it's in my DM inbox or my email or whatever.
Bubbling it up.
Bubble it up. Absolutely. Don't be afraid to do that. And that's really, I would just extend that to when I think about times when I've been on the other side, like trying to get somebody to read something or do something.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's busy, and so I it's never offensive to in due time to say, hey, just reminding you about this. Even if you have to do it a few times, I think people appreciate the fact that you are interested in making something happen, basically.
Right.
So something to keep in mind, not just for getting in contact with me, but whatever it is that you're trying to get done. And so I do apologize. Thank you to Cole for the sneaker madness idea, and to everybody that I have not gotten back to. I'm working to do so. Ready for the next call?
Apology accepted.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Speaking of Will, he's reporting from Copper Mountain right here.
Wow.
What's up, Club Cool? It's Will from Colorado. I'm out here. I'm actually sitting in the parking lot here at Copper, just finishing my coffee before I hit the hill. And I've been traveling around. I'm a student at University of Michigan. I've been traveling around Colorado, hitting a bunch of mountains that I never hit while I was living here. So I want to talk about some of the stupid-ass fashion trends, if you want to call them that, that I've seen. Sorry, excuse my language. On the hill this on the hill this winter. The biggest one being the microwave. The microwaves are in. These are like shiny, reflective jackets and full suits. They're just bad. They're so terrible. These are like puffy down full suits that are just like reflective. If anyone in the gang wears these, I mean, rock it proudly. And I hope that your skiing backs it up. But otherwise, you just don't wear these things, please. That's been the biggest one. And then also just like there's these crazy large leather gloves that with like frills and fringe on the side. I don't know. I don't know about them. Rock whatever on the ski hill, no hate, but it's been an interesting one. Go ahead and look up microwaves and then plug in any mountain, microwaves of copper, microwaves of Telluride. You'll see those are good follows for you. Yeah, that's it. This is a fucking terrible call, sorry, but peace.
The microwave, I love that. That's
Will,
so
I thought it was a good call. Don't sell yourself short. Yeah. So I've pulled up both of the trends that you mentioned. You mentioned Telluride and copper, but they both made me think of Aspen. And when I punched in microwaves of ... on Instagram, Aspen is what came up. And so here we are. Here are some photos of the microwaves in Aspen.
Man.
And this is absolutely like, you know, here's a couple. Here's a microwave couple. But it definitely feels like a rich lady skier thing to me. I feel like this is a ski trend that has resurfaced. I feel like I remember this kind of like super shiny jacket being popular when I was hitting the mountain in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So no surprise that it's being recycled about 20 years later. And if you do a quick search here, like if we just do like shiny ski jackets, you'll see the type of brands that come up are Bogner. Here, really old school heritage ski labels, European ski labels, Moncler. Here's a big Michael Kors one, but it definitely is. Your brands like Patagonia and Arc'teryx and Helly Hansen and like true ski brands. I feel like are I shouldn't say true ski brands. Bogner is a true ski brand. Moncler is as well. But they're very focused on like the trendy fashion side of it. The brands that are more focused on the performance aspects, I feel like are doing far less of this whole microwave shiny ski stuff. Now this is a bad sign, Will, that Tipsy Elves is selling a full on microwave onesie, which means that the Gapers have also gotten a hold of it. And so you will definitely see crews of bros from Texas in Colorado probably rocking the microwave onesies in the coming months. Look out for that. Just look for the obnoxious crew. I've been a part of those before. And the fringe gloves, now we're just talking Dumb and Dumber. Like Southwestern, let's see. Southwestern, Aspen, Santa Fe, leather suede fringed gloves. Now I wasn't able to find like true ski versions of
there.
Here we go.
That's great.
But this is Lloyd Christmas handing out $100 bills at the, you know, at the lodge, right?
There you go.
Here you go. Here you go.
Those are cool.
Which ones?
The Colorado ones. And the, like, look at the one with the Olympic.
Okay. So these were Ralph Lauren. These were Polo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I believe that, yeah, these were Team USA Olympic gloves. They actually did release these. They were not cheap and they sold out immediately on the website.
Wow.
This is like this was through Polo, but it was basically, it was a double RL piece essentially and kind of a collector's item.
I'd love to see you wearing those around Austin.
I'm only wearing these if I, as a joke, when handing out tips to valets and other members of staff somewhere. Now, because this one, because the fringed gloves do remind me so much of like that kind of that old school Southwestern vibe, and then of course Lloyd and Harry. I would play around with this if I was skiing more often with the fringe gloves. I'd definitely go here before I went to the microwave jacket. Mm. But man, I can't wait to get back out there to see some of the trends that Will's talking about here.
I'd like to see what's actually cool out there because I have no clue.
So Will's got this column. I've got it pulled up. We're gonna put it out here very soon.
Okay,
and I'm pretty sure that he breaks down what he's seeing, as kind of in. There really are a lot of different worlds for ski trends though. because you've got skiers and you've got snowboarders and then you've got like park rats and then you've got like downhill skiers and then you've got like your powder guys. And so there, you know, that's part of what's cool about it is that it's not just kind of like, you know, there's not one thing that dominates, even though it's like a, you know, relatively niche sport. You'd think that there would be like a lot of through lines, but you know, in various instances, the really long stuff, like long jackets have been cool, and then pop colors have been good, and then all neutrals and all blacks have been popular, and then, you know, it's kind of all over the place, but we'll definitely get that column out from Will. Wow, look at this one.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like if Kylie, I wonder if Kylie had on some microwave. She was just in Aspen recently. The whole Kardashian clique was.
It's kind of a hazard. I mean, you're coming down there like a mirror.
You can blind somebody.
Right. Look at that. That looks photoshopped.
Yeah. Don't think that one's real. So yeah. So like Will said, if you're going microwave, better back it up. Better be doing kickflip 180s off the ramps, off the jumps, off the kickers. Okay, let's move on. Stay tuned. That column, by the way, patreon.com/clubcool if you want to read it and find out all about the Innis trends on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
What's like the Innis religion? Okay, moving on. Here we go. Next up.
Hi, Phil and Barrett. My name is Corey, and I'm calling from West Virginia. I just had a quick question. How do you guys feel about buying clothing items from Goodwill? Obviously, I would take it to a dry cleaner or at a minimum wash it, but I have mixed emotions about it. I just bought a cool vintage trench coat there. Part of me likes it. Part of me feels weird for getting something at Goodwill. Let me know what you think. Bye.
I'll let you start first.
I used to do this all the time before I had heard of a vintage store. I think in Beaumont, there is no vintage store, so Goodwill is essentially that. We had another place called the Treasure Closet that was a secondhand store.
Okay.
But I haven't done it in a very long time just because I don't feel like I'm going to find anything there.
Yeah. That's largely the way that I feel, too. There's definitely nothing weird or wrong with picking up stuff at Goodwill. I think that kind of barometer, if you're shopping through a Goodwill and you pick up something and you're like, this is kind of weird, it might be kind of weird. But if you found a trench coat that is in like great shape and looks good and fits you well, like boom, you just got a great, fantastic deal. I think for me, and I've definitely said this before, and this applies to Goodwill or Savers or their other thrift stores like that, as well as places like Pavement, which I checked out, by the way, and Buffalo Exchange. Like, all of it is a little overwhelming to me.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to be ready to, like, dig. You got to be ready to rifle through racks of stuff. Try on a bunch of stuff because there's no consistency in sizing because it's from all over the place and from 10 different eras, you know, in fashion and brands across a giant spectrum from, you know, from mall brands to designer to stuff you've never heard of to vintage. So there's very little consistency. You got to kind of know what you're looking for or just be ready to find anything. And I just typically like, I just, part of it is I just find perusing online far easier and I generally like kind of know what I'm looking for there. But it, you know, it can be, I've talked about Full Circle Vintage, numerous times now. And what I love about that store is that I can shop the whole store in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I walked into Pavement the other day, which is basically Buffalo Exchange on steroids. And it's just like, there are clothes and racks as far as the eye can see.
No, thank you.
And it's immediately, like it's just a, like, nope, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to begin. I don't want to, it's too much. And so it's, you know, that's generally not for me. But if you do enjoy that and you have the patience and the ability to kind of rifle through a bunch of stuff and try on things and give stuff a shot, you can make great finds for very, very little doll hairs. Very few doll hairs.
You might find yourself finding a pair of John Elliott cast denim that my wife donated that time.
That's right.
And it ended up in the women's section at the Goodwill denim.
They picked those up and they said, oh, these are women's jeans.
Yeah. I was distraught, but I found them. I went back. I was like,
oh, you got them back?
Yeah. They were on the rack. I think they had them for
$18. That's how you found out they were in the women's.
They were in the women's.
So did you say, I didn't mean to donate these, or did you buy them?
No, I said I didn't mean to donate them, and I will buy them. And she said, don't worry about it.
And do you still own that pair now?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good to hear.
Man, that was a terrible morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to say that I've never had that happen. I've never accidentally donated something that I really liked. Mm-hmm. All right. I think we've got time for one more here. Let me find it. Oh, actually, we've got two more.
Okay.
All right. Let's go here first.
Fellas, this is Brew from New York. Was wondering if you guys have seen these like Adidas clogs they came out with. They're essentially just Crocs, but like without the kind of back strap on it. I think they're kind of fire. I mean, they're super simple. They're just these like blank, like sandal things with the three stripes on the side. And they got the vents on top, kind of cut in like the shell toe position. I think they're hella goofy, but, you know, I'm into them. What do you guys think?
I think producer Randy was just talking about how he grabbed a pair of these. No. I thought you were a Crocs guy, Randy. Didn't you get the Bad Bunny Justin Bieber Crocs? I think this is a sign that I don't know. This just feels like Crocs being in right now. The Merrell Hydromox being popular, the Crocs being popular, the clogs and mules in general being very popular, and Adidas kind of jumping on the trend. I like the shell toe detailing on top. I do think that is pretty cool. Now, would I own or buy a pair of these? Probably not, because I like other versions better. But if you are wanting to jump in on this clog thing, I'm sure these are hella comfortable. They're $45, so it's you know, it's a relatively low buy-in here. Surprisingly, there was a black pair of these. They sold out. The black pair is sold out, which I thought the black pair was super ugly. I like the white pair better.
Mm-hmm.
And then these other colors are I'm kind of indifferent on. But yeah, it's a Superstar mixed with a Croc mixed with an Adidas slide, and it is quite a hybrid. Any further thoughts, Will? Phil?
No.
Your name's Will now.
Okay. Well, Will does not like
Phil.
This.
Phil. No, not in on these. No.
That's the Superstar, right? Or is it?
Yeah.
That's what my least favorite.
Adidas.
Okay.
This reminds me. There's another trend or another shoe here in this same vein that has been making its way into Instagram feeds, and it's the Reebok Beatnik, and I hate this shoe. I hate this shoe.
Look at the green one.
I think this is really ugly and not in a good way. I don't know what this reminds me of, but I even when people are like quote unquote
Gore-Tex
pulling these off, I think they're awful.
Yeah,
I don't know. It looks like you're doing like some Star Wars. Like what are the desert people in Star Wars?
I don't know. Ewok?
No, the ones with like the red eye things. I don't know. It looks like you're doing like a Star Wars desert man cosplay or something into me. But this is, I know this is popular among certain in groups. But I would take those Adidas clogs before I took the Reebok Beatniks. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay, one more call here. Here it is.
Hey, Barrett and Phil, this is Nick from Maryland. And so I am a watch guy trying to break into the bracelet game. But the thing is that I'm not going to take my watches off. So, like, I'm trying to find a good way to combine my watches with bracelets. And I guess my question is where to buy these bracelets and then kind of, like, what kind of bracelets to wear. Because, like, I don't want to just start stacking a bunch of metal stuff up on my wrist. One, because I think it'll probably scratch the watches up. And two, I think it kind of looks stupid. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I always like this look. I always think it looks cool to have like a watch, whether it be something with a strap, more typically it's something with like a stainless steel band, and then kind of a bracelet or two kind of stacked with that. It's one of my favorite kind of like little man jewelry flexes, I guess you could say. Now, I mean, the style here really comes down to your own personal preference and your own and kind of like what you're going with or what you're going for, whether you're going for like a McConaughey vibe, or are you going for like a Kanye vibe, or are you going for, you know, kind of like, I don't know, something in between? Are you kind of going for just kind of something very contemporary that anybody could wear? One brand that came to mind for me here was LeGram. LeGram does a wide range of stuff, but mostly all sorts of like metal bracelets, metal cuffs, and they do all kind of like variations of widths. So you can get something kind of fat, you can get something kind of thin, you can get silver, you can get gold, you can get whatever you want. Yeah, here are some pictures of them right here, but they're, if you want like a metal on metal thing, I think this is a really,
yeah, that's nice.
This is a good brand to start with, and that's LeGramme, LeGramme. And they even do, let's see here, just had it pulled up. They do some ones that are like a little, I think like a little piece of cord as well. What happened to those?
I had a brand that I'm going to find that I think is absolutely perfect. I think they're out of Greece, but the only reason I can't find them right now is because I started sending them to my spam folder because they were incessant.
Have you talked about this brand before?
Yes.
On the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll find it. I can pull it up.
They're great. I think that they're perfect for this, and the reason they kept emailing me because I left something in my cart. Like,
okay.
An idiot.
Here's the little cord one from LeGram, which I also think, I love this because it's adjustable. And
yeah.
As a small wrist boy, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about here actually won't work for me because it's just too big. But this, very adjustable. And here you get a little bit of both. You get a little piece of silver, a little metal, and then also some just a cord. You'll see right here on this website, marketed merchandise next to the LeGram stuff is Mindsai, one of the first brands to kind of that really jumped to the forefront with men's jewelry and men's bracelets at the beginning of last decade, basically. But another one, man, you go to Mindsai, you find anything and everything that you want as far as style.
Yeah.
All sorts of paracord and leather and metal.
Fish hook,
any type of hook. Really, the this is, if you want a good place to just kind of see all sorts of stuff that might be interesting for you to pair with a watch, Mindsai, MINSAI, another really good one. Another one that will probably come up if you just start Googling around on some of these brands is Louis Mirai. Very dainty, smaller stuff. A lot of beads involved with his bracelets. I think that these are oftentimes shown with a watch. Let's see if I can pull one up. Just because they don't take up a whole lot of space on your wrist, and so I feel like they're easy to. Yeah, here we go. They're easy to get, mm-hmm. kind of both in there. And then one other brand that I wanted to throw out is one that I've talked about recently on the podcast a couple of times is Roxana Sulin, who's doing some really brightly loud kind of candy colored stuff that I think is a lot of fun.
It's like Pharrell.
And Pharrell, it gives me like a Harry Styles vibe a little bit as well, because it is kind of androgynous, kind of unisex. The men's stuff is typically darker. But if you go check their website out, you will definitely see guys doing both here.
Don't you have a necklace from her?
Yeah, I picked up a necklace on a Black Friday sale from her. That's kind of a bunch of multicolored, mm-hmm. very surfy, very California. And this is kind of giving you that. I don't know. I think California kind of surfy is the way to describe this vibe. It's not like all the way like Kanye West, Coachella, Berkman Brothers. 1 million cloth bracelets on, and it's a little bit more casual, a little bit more fun than stacking up, you know, some silver stuff with a watch. And then last thing I'll mention, shop vintage. Check out vintage stores. You know, that I always like the turquoise inlays, yeah. on some metal stuff, and those are usually best. You can Google around for that type of stuff, but check out vintage stores as well that kind of curate that type of stuff in your area.
Pull up that link I just emailed you.
You emailed it to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
This is a great example of what not to do.
What not to do?
Yeah. All right. Kieran Culkin is, for some reason, it's either like a shtick. I don't know what, like, he's going for. But it just immediately came to mind, because any interview I've ever seen him do,
he's looking like this?
Like, 65 bracelets.
This, it must just be his thing, right?
But it's a bad thing. It doesn't make any sense. It looks like a joke. Right? What is that?
Yeah. Okay. That's weird. Especially because this is... okay. If I covered up the middle of this picture here, if I erased his face and the middle of that shirt, who would you think that is? If I just gave you this hand, who would you think?
Harry Styles.
Yes, exactly. And then the rest is, look, you can, if you're like a clean cut guy, if you have an office job, if you have, you know, there is a line. You can't blend too much. You can't be office guy on the face and the hair and the nice pressed button up, buttoned all the way, almost all the way to the top, and then do
the hand,
the multicolored,
like this arm
nail polish with 10 different rings and approximately 69 bracelets. Like these two things, it's too much of a juxtaposition. Like sometimes that kind of like, oh, I'm doing this thing here, but this other thing that's kind of different over here works. This is like polar opposites. He's if you cut off the arm, he looks like he's about to walk into the boardroom. If you cut off the if you only show me the arm, he looks like he's about to go front one direction. So this is strange.
Oh,
maybe,
man.
Is it for a role?
No, dude. I've seen him in so many interviews looking like this.
So this is just what he does.
I think it is.
Hmm. Yeah, that's strange. I don't like the. I mean, it's too many. Even if you are gonna dress like a rock star. It's
look at that's an old one.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That is very strange.
Huh.
Like the one that you pointed out, what is he on? Is he on Ellen?
Yeah.
Here? Yeah. He looks like he just came off the set of Succession, but then just like popped on all the bracelets.
Give me all my bracelets. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
He does it. No, he does it on both arms sometimes. Just depends.
That's pretty strange. You know, the other Culkin brother is in Waco, is in the show Waco.
Is he?
Yeah. Did y'all watch that?
Yeah, I can't recall which
started that. He's Thibodeau.
Thibodeau, that's right, man. There's some good acting in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I say this every time. It's just shocking that it was that well done on FX.
Paramount.
We watched it on FX.
Huh.
When it was first out. And it was, I mean, that's where Breaking Bad was, though.
No, Breaking Bad was AMC.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. I only watch FX.
You're just an FX guy? You're an FX boy?
FX used to be the home to In Living Color, too.
Brand loyal to FX?
FX.
Okay. The FX got some great shows, man. They do. But Breaking Bad was not one of them. All right. That wraps it up for the hotline calls today. Thank you for everybody that called in. Once again, if you've got a question or a comment or want to roast us or just really whatever you want, call in, give us your takes, give us your questions, best you got. It's 833-258-2266 or alternative 833-CLUB-COO. Go check us out, patreon.com/clubcool. We'll have a great editorial for you coming up. Again, I'm going to put that ski article out if you want to get the nitty gritty on what's popping out there on the slopes. And then you do not have to become a patron. Just follow us on Patreon and you'll see that link for the Discord, the refresh Discord link as well. And you can jump in there and give me great ideas just like Cole did. Any further thing for today, Phil? Anything further, I should say?
No.
Okay. Instagram, @clubcoolpod. Check us out. And that wraps it up for us today. We will be back. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.